What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network, where we offer you podcasts of the supernatural and the unexplained. Get ready now for Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself. Hi, I'm Sandra Champlain. For almost 25 years, I've been on a journey to prove the existence of life after death. On each episode, we'll discuss the reasons we now know that our loved ones have survived physical death. And so will we. Welcome to Shades of the Afterlife. Every now and then, I like to talk to somebody who was a true skeptic, even perhaps an atheist, and then somehow got involved in the world of the afterlife. Today, I want you to meet Martin Twycross, who not only became a medium, but he has done so much investigation. He has courses on mediumship, a great class about mediums of the past, and all kinds of good things at his martintwycross.com website. He's also been the man responsible for bringing the GordonHigginson.co.uk site to the world. And if you don't know, Gordon Higginson is probably the biggest reason we have mediumship in its current form here today. So, scientifically minded Martin, I'll let you tell your story.
Absolutely. So yeah, you're very, very correct in terms of my approach. You will have noticed it is quite logical, quite scientific. So I am very much, I have a very strong science background. I studied sciences at school, and I went on to do a physics degree.
Wow.
And then I did a master's in environmental science. So I've got a very scientific background. And you're also right. For quite some time, I was an atheist. I'm highly skeptical. I'm still that skeptical medium. For me, if something's real, you're going to have to prove it to me.
Right.
I won't take anything at first glance. And I will share something with you. As a student and in my late teens, I really didn't believe in religion. I didn't believe in any of our holy books or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I thought all people who followed religion blindly following things that had no evidence, no proof. I used to really enjoy having conversations with them, trying to tell them that what they were believing was a load of rubbish.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I do.
So it's quite ironic, really, that, you know, I find myself where I am now. And I'll share something else with you. It's quite funny. I at one point during one of those conversations, I was arguing with a very much a born-again Christian about there is no God.
Oh, no.
And I'd had quite a bit to drink at the time, mm-hmm. which made my argument all the stronger. And then all of a sudden, I said, you know, there is no God. And all I can describe is this feeling pushing me into this chair, like a huge hand just pushing me down into the chair. I thought, this is really odd. So it stopped when I didn't say anything. But when I said, there is no God, it happened again. Hmm. And it only happened when I said, there is no God. And I thought, that's ever so odd. So at that point in time, I went agnostic. So I no longer believed there wasn't a God, but I believed there was something, but I don't know what.
Right.
But whenever I argued there was no God, something strange happened to me. So I thought, I better open to the possibility of maybe there is something. It's strange, really, because I really thought things like mediumship and spiritualism was just people who are grieving are vulnerable, who are trying to clutch at straws, trying to believe in something.
Right. I agree. I felt the same way.
Exactly. And, you know, in fact, in my early 20s, mid-20s, I found myself sharing a house, a bunch of guys in a house, and one of them was a spiritualist. He went to church every Sunday, and we used to have discussions about spiritualism and religion, and he was quite normal, actually. And he said, you know, you should come along to this church. And so I did. I went to my first spiritualist church, and he said, because you don't believe, if you should come to this evening, which is what we call a transfiguration evening. And transfiguration is a form of physical mediumship. And it's where an ectoplasmic mask builds up over the face of the medium and takes on the facial features of somebody in the spirit world. And the thing about physical mediumship is it should be visible to everybody, believers and non-believers alike. So even like me, who is a skeptic, I should have seen it. Mm-hmm. So I went along and I sat in a very darkened room with about 50 people, and I saw nothing apart from the best thing I can describe it as is a guy at the front gurning, pulling strange faces. And everyone else would say, wow, can you see the Native American? I'm saying, nope. Can you see this man? I'm saying, nope.
Nope.
So that convinced me more than anything that most of them were deluded and it was all in their mind.
Yes.
And then he said, you know, okay, that wasn't a great example. And maybe you should go and have a reading with a medium. So I said, well, okay, you know, I'm scientific. I can't poo-poo something until I get some evidence for it. So I went along to the medium he recommended, who was supposedly a good medium. I took my notebook. Everything she said was written down as evidence. And I scored it all afterwards as to how accurate it was. And it wasn't really very good, to be truthful, maybe 30, 40% accuracy. Mm-hmm. But a few things she said, I had to go away and check with my mum. And in checking it, it turned out there's a few bits in there, a few gems that were actually quite good. But the majority was really, I would call it, cold reading techniques and things like that. You know, I turned up in a nice car. That was quite a quick car. And she said, you like to drive quite quickly. And I'm thinking, I'm in my mid-20s and I've got a sports car outside.
Yeah,
what
course.
Do you think?
Yes.
You know,
okay.
It doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to figure that out.
Right.
But there was a couple of bits in there that still had my attention. I thought, that's interesting. But still, my view of mediums was that not happy about it. Didn't really believe it. And then for me, the trigger for me was in 2001 when my mum, she got very ill and she had a massive stroke. And basically, ultimately, it took her to the spirit world. And I had a premonition of the exact moment in time she would die.
Wow.
I knew it within me. And I told all the family, and we'd had a lot of occasions where it looked like she was going to go, but she didn't. And all the family thought I was mad. And all the family said, you know, you're crazy. So I was only one there at the time. And even the nurses and doctors said to me, Martin, go home, you're crazy. And I said, no, it's going to happen at 3 a.m. in the morning this day. And sure enough, time came. And it wasn't until about 20 minutes beforehand that she started to deteriorate. And the nurses and doctors suddenly realized, actually, he's right. So they rang the family, but sadly they weren't able to get there. So it's just me who was there mm-hmm. with her. And for me, I think it's one of the most beautiful things to be able to be with someone at the moment they pass. For me, it's, you know, it is a real privilege. And at the exact moment she passed, I just knew within my very being that she was not dead, that she was still alive, just in another dimension. I can't say how I knew. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I just knew. So I sent the thought to her, well, I'm going to go and find a spiritualist church, and if you can come along, that'd be wonderful. My family lived quite a distance from where I live, so I'd stay there a little while to sort a few things out. Mm-hmm. Then when I got the chance to, which was about 2 weeks later, I went to my local spiritualist church, and I went along, and I was pretty skeptical. I sat in the very back corner, kind of hiding, not really wanting to be there.
Right.
And the medium came to me, maybe the second or third link, and he said, I'm coming to the man in the back corner who's got his arms folded, who looks like he doesn't want to be there. And I'm looking around myself thinking, who's that? And it was mm-hmm. me. And he brought my mum through and he gave me this most phenomenal evidence. And he told me exactly what happened at the moment she passed. And I know there's nobody else there other than me, my mum. And I knew beyond doubt that was her communicating. I knew beyond doubt that mediumship at that moment in time was real. And not everyone is as lucky as that to get that kind of excellent evidence on their first visit.
Right.
So I thought that's amazing. And I was talking afterwards and they said, well, we have a demonstration tomorrow night where our training mediums get to go on platform, something we call open platform. Mm-hmm. If you're so interested, come along tomorrow night. So I did, and the next night I got another message from my grandfather in spirit with some very specific stuff about his jobs and all sorts of things. So in the course of 2 days, I was given so much evidence that proved to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that mediumship was real. But on that very first visit, the medium said something to me at the very end of his message, and he said, "Martin, you are a medium also." And we didn't say Martin because he didn't know my name, actually.
Right.
He said, "You're a medium also, and you'll work on platform within 18 months. And I just thought to myself, there's no way I want to be a medium. There's no way I want to do what you're doing.
Right.
There's no way I want to stand up in front of a group of people and be the center of attention. But strangely, all of that came true. Strangely, I did go to Circle. I did start developing. I think within 2 months, I'd already given my first spirit link. And it just unfolded so rapidly. My teacher didn't know nothing about the prediction given to me by this medium. And she invited me to work platform with her within 18 months. And it all came true. And I said to her, "I'm not ready." And she said, "You are." And I said, "No, I'm not." And she said, "Yes, you are." And I said, "I'm not coming." She said, "Yes, you are." Like, okay, I better do it.
Right.
And it worked. So that's how I went from being that atheist, that skeptic, to becoming a medium. And for me, it was, you know, and I changed in that process. It has to change us. I believe when we are touched by the power of spirit, when our soul is touched, it starts to change us as a person. And a lot of my friends kind of said, "He's gone a bit mad. He's, you know, he's going to that church a lot, that spiritualist church, and it's a phase he's going through and he'll grow out of it." And they didn't understand. And they didn't understand the degree of comfort you get when you find out that there is no death, when we find out that our own loved ones are still alive. People don't realize just how comforting that is, how wonderful that is. And for me, I never forget how much benefit it gave me. And that's one thing I always remember whenever I'm working as a medium now, that I hold that power within my hands. It's a huge responsibility, mediumship.
Mm-hmm. Sure it is.
You know, when we work for people, you know, we can become a bit blasé. You know, I wake up and, yeah, I'm doing another demonstration this evening. I'm doing some more private sittings. But we forget that we're reuniting two worlds that, to all intents and purposes, physically can no longer interact, but through a medium they can. And it's such a privilege. It really is. And I love that ability to do that. And I love to help others to unfold that ability as well.
And Martin, I know I've seen many hours of your videos. You're very normal, you're very grounded, and you've got a great sense of humor.
A sense of humor is a really valuable tool. I think it's one of the most underestimated tools we can have, actually. If we can laugh at ourselves and laugh at things and not take things so seriously that we allow it to become such a problem for us, it's great.
It is. Martin, will you share a little bit about your journey developing your mediumship?
I started my journey locally within the local church, Hampton Hill Spiritualist Church, which is a church I'm still very heavily involved in. It's still a very special, it's my second home at the moment.
Oh, nice.
It's my home from home.
Is that where you do the videos?
Indeed, that's
with that your flip chart?
That is the backdrop for the videos, absolutely.
Okay. Very nice
that's
to know.
It's where I met my wife, it's where I got married, it plays a huge part in my life.
Very nice, very nice. Martin, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll hear more about your adventure as a medium. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Keep it here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Sandra Champlain will be right back.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/shades today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/shades.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, it's time to head over to coasttocoastam.com and check out the Art Bell Vault, a collection of timeless audio. Listen to some of the great interviews with the likes of the late Father Malachi Martin, Dr. Evelyn Paglini, investigative journalist Jim Mars, and more. This is classic audio that you can enjoy at any time, and it's all heard without interruption. New shows are added each week, so find out how to access the Art Bell Vault now by going to coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to the new iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Now let's get back to Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we're with Martin Twycross. Martin, you were mentioning that you began your development in the churches. Was working in the churches enough?
The problem is, within churches, within that kind of environment, at the end of the day, whilst the teachers generally can be really good, if you want to get the best teachers, you have to go a little bit further afield. And I always thought, well, if I want to learn something, I want to learn it well. And if I want to learn it, I'd really like to go and seek out some of the finest teachers I can.
The best.
Exactly. And I did a bit of research, and the name that came up time and time again was the Arthur Findlay College. So I went to the Arthur Findlay College on one of their open days just to have a look at it, to understand it. And I fell in love with the place then. It's such a beautiful place. It really is. It's got such a beautiful energy. And I booked on a course, and I went on the course, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I went on another one, and I end up going about three times a year for, well, I think I've done, as a student, probably about 36 courses there.
Wow.
It's over half a year of my life there.
Wow.
It's amazing. For me, I just enjoyed going with different teachers, just learning as much as I can, trying to soak up information like a sponge. I just love learning. I don't think we ever stop learning within our own development. I still learn every single time I work. I still learn with every demonstration. I still learn with every time I teach. It's always, life is all about learning.
Mm-hmm. And then sharing it.
Exactly. When I get the spirit world, then I still want to keep learning. I'll just see it from a different perspective.
What have you learned about the spirit world? Is it just another world similar to this?
Well, I guess most information on what the spirit world is like comes through transmediums. And transmediumship is where a medium, if you like, just goes very, very passive. It's almost like they slip into a form of meditation, mm-hmm. but the spirit blends with the medium and blends with the mind of the medium, and spirit is able to speak through them with their permission. So effectively, the medium surrenders and allows spirit to blend with their mind and speak through them. And we've had some really good examples of transmediums in the past, mediums such as Silver Birch, and they bring through a great deal of information about what life is like in the spirit world. But funnily enough, you'll find that different communicators give a different opinion of what life's like in the spirit world. And when you think about it, if I was to take 100 people who lived upon the earth from a variety of different countries, different areas, different regions, and ask them all what life was like on Earth. And all time is something different.
Sure.
So if you like, it's whatever we work with is tinged with our own experiences as spirits. And also whatever comes through any medium, I believe, has a degree of coloration of the medium's own mind and the medium's own beliefs. It takes an awful lot of development for the medium to be minimized in the equation. And we call it the stained glass effect, whereby what is presented has a degree of staining or coloration, especially if the medium holds very, very strong beliefs or the medium has fixed views about things.
Right.
So is it possible for us to ever find out for definite what life is like in the spirit world? I don't think so. But if you look at what so many different people say, and I'm also a transmedium. I've been developing that for a good 6-7 years. And
very cool.
The guides also speak through me. And I like to give my sitters questions to ask them as well, because I've got that kind of mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like to know what question's going to be asked when, because my own mind will dwell upon it or may color it.
Right.
So I prefer not to, if a question's asked, I like it to come out of the blue. So my own mind has less of a chance to interfere. And generally, from my own experiences and from what I've read, you know, people, the guides say that within the spirit world, it's a world of mind. It's not a physical world. But when we go to bed at night, we dream, and we dream of ourselves as having bodies. So the mind is quite able to clothe us within a body within a dream. And so the mind is quite able to clothe us within the body within the spirit world. And generally, we will create within the spirit world with our own mind that with which we are familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So the world we go to will effectively look a lot like the world we're familiar with anyway, because that's what we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
And we interact as a mind. There is no separation through physical space. But they say there are so many worlds within the spirit realm. And effectively, we just continue on. We continue our development to the next stage within spirit. So we move forward. You know, so we don't instantly become spiritual. We don't instantly turn into the Dalai Lama or Mother Teresa when we get there.
Okay.
You know, we're still effectively the same personality. We're still effectively the same person we are here. But I say we have many lives within lives here, because if I look where I am now compared to where I was 10 years ago, compared to where I was 20 years ago, I'm a different person. And different experiences make us have a different outlook. And the more we learn, it changes us. And so I believe that even if we look at our earthly life, we can see those changes, that growth taking place.
Definitely. Definitely.
So it's the same within the spirit world. You know, in the spirit world, we'll still get experiences to help our soul to grow, to help us grow as that consciousness, to help us grow as that mind. But I think one thing we will find is that they say that here in this earthly world, we become separated. If you like, we're kind of unplugged from the matrix. Here we have this body that separates us from all other people. So we don't feel connected to people. We don't see that connection that exists with all of us. But when we go back to the spirit world and we lose that body, if you like, we become part of that ocean again, where that we're back as a droplet within that ocean. Whilst we maintain our own unique identity, our own unique personality, we recognize the interconnectedness of all things and all people. So we end up with a slightly different perspective. And they say that our life flashes before our eyes when we pass. But I just believe it's that reconnection where all experiences are maintained and held. We're just accessing them all again. We're able to review our life because all of that resurfaces to us. As mediums, we get so many messages from people when they've gone to the spirit world about they get to see where they go wrong. They get to see the mistakes they make. They want to come back and make amends. They want to come back and say, I'm sorry for being that way. They come back to say to their loved ones, I love you. I didn't tell you it. It's so important you know it, but I love you. I may not have always shown it. My actions may not have shown it. I may not have said it, but it's there. I think what really matters to us surfaces the most when we're in the spirit world. Sometimes in this world, we get a bit caught up in our own experience. We get a bit caught up in our own lives, and we can move away from that, which is so important. You know, what's life in the spirit world like is to say time is different. The guides tend to say that the experiences we have, if you like, are linear. They follow one after the other. Growth takes place progressively, although time is different. So it's not like the linear time we have here. So a lot of time could have passed in a blink of an eye. So time is different, but exactly how, it's quite hard for us to understand because of the way we experience time and our lives here. So it's hard for us to understand that. But it is a huge topic. I could probably talk to you about it all day.
Oh, I know you could. You just mentioned guides. Who are guides?
So for me, guides are spirits. They are people within the spirit world who choose to work with those of us here, who choose to help us in some way, to inspire us, to help us, to guide us, to teach us, to be a part of our journey. And I believe everybody has a guide, even if you're not aware of them, you still will have them. But if you're going to work with your spiritual abilities, then absolutely they're there. They're going to work with you. And for me, how many do you have? Well, it depends what work you do, because if you do certain work, you'll attract people who will work with you to do that. So if you do healing, you'll end up with guides and helpers who work with the healing energies. If you do mediumship, platform mediumship, you'll end up with guides who are helping with that process. So how many guides we have will depend upon what we do. But all of us, I believe, have at least one main guide. Most of us have considerably more. And a lot of the guides, if you like, you know, if you have a theater show, you've got your main actors, but there's a huge set of people behind the scenes who get the show on the road.
Yeah, that's a great visual. Yes.
And I believe it's the same. You know, whenever I demonstrate mediumship, there may be one or two guides who are kind of very heavily involved within the process, but I believe there's a multitude of other people who are helping to train the communicators to work with us, who are helping to create the right conditions for it to happen, mm-hmm. who are behind the scenes just doing jobs without any recognition.
Right.
So I believe that it's not a bad metaphor, the sort of theater metaphor for it.
Martin, are we all able to do mediumship?
Well, there's two schools of thought. The first school of thought is that, you know, mediumship is a gift and only certain people have that gift. And the second school of thought is that mediumship is an ability or a faculty just like any other ability. The ability to draw, the ability to do art, the ability to play music. And we can all do all of those things to a degree.
Right.
You know, for me, I'll share a story. I always want to be a rock guitarist, you know.
Okay.
I would have loved to have been fabulous on guitar. And I purchased guitars. I purchased amplifiers. I went for lessons. Mm-hmm. My tutor said to me, Martin, with all due respect, as much as I love teaching you, you're never going to be a guitarist. Or at least you're going to struggle with it. You'll be able to knock something out at half speed, probably badly. But you've got no sense of rhythm. You've got no sense of timing. And it's just never going to work brilliantly for you. And I said, fair enough, but I enjoy it. I enjoy mucking about with it. And so I was able to do it to a degree, but other people could pick the guitar up and be fabulous quickly and had a real natural aptitude and ability for it. Now, you might say they're gifted and I wasn't, but I still have some degree. And with practice, with patience, with a desire to want to learn, yeah, I can move forward. I can progress with it, but my rate of progression is different to theirs. So for me, mediumship is like any other ability. I believe we all have it. We're all spirit here and now. None of us are different. We're all that soul upon the earth. We're all spirit here and now. So because we are, we have that potential within us to do it. But you've got to want to learn to develop it. You've got to want to show up in class. You've got to want to do the teaching. You've got to want to do the practice.
Sure.
You know, and a lot of people, yeah, they love to play guitar, but you stick the guitar in a hand and say, right, you do an hour a day. You do your scales. I go, oh, that's boring. I don't know how to do that. And they never develop it. It's the same with mediumship.
I agree. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between psychic and mediumship?
Yeah, certainly. I'll take a step backwards and I'll explain that mediumship and psychic work function through our psychic senses, our psychic faculties.
Okay.
The psychic abilities. So they both use exactly the same mechanism. And we often speak about our psychic senses by work terminology such as clairvoyance, which is seeing, mm-hmm. clairsentience, sensing, clairaudience, hearing, and the like.
Let's go to our next break and then we'll continue. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Mm-hmm. With age, women and men have issues with fine lines, wrinkles, under-eye bags, crepey skin on the neck, and aging on the hands. Dr. Nathan Newman has developed Lumines for amazing results treating these issues with his stem cell-based formula, APT200. Try Lumines today with our postage-paid starter kit for only $19.99, available exclusively at HealthyLooking.com. Join thousands of satisfied customers using Lumines. Learn more at HealthyLooking.com.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
You're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The best afterlife information you can get while you're alive.
Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we are talking with Martin Twycross. Now, Martin, you were just saying that you use the same ability with psychic and mediumship. Could you tell us what the difference is?
The only difference between psychic work and mediumistic work is that with mediumship, the information is coming from a discarnate mind in the spirit world. With psychic work, the information is coming from the energy of a person, or it's coming from the energy of a place, or it could even be coming from the energy of an object. So we're working with something in the here and now with psychic work. And with mediumistic work, we're linking to the spirit world, we're linking to a mind within the spirit world, and that's where the information is coming from. So yeah, that's the main difference. But then again, you see, if you were given an object that she understood, it's quite possible her mum would understand that object and know about the object. So sometimes it's not always easy to pinpoint where the information is coming from. And, you know, even if we get information about a sitter, about their health conditions, their loved one in the spirit world generally knows what's going on with them. It takes an interest in their health conditions. So say I'm sitting there doing a sitting with someone and I go, oh, I've got a terrible stomach problem. I'm really feeling, did your mum have a terrible problem with her tummy? And they say, no, but that's me.
Right.
But mum knows she's got that problem. So mum may be sending that information to me, or I may be picking it up just by naturally tuning in psychically to her energy. I pick up the stomach problem. So can I prove whether it's received from spirit or received psychically? Not always so easily, no. The part of us that works with mediumship is our subconscious mind, our creative mind, the part of the mind that is our imagination. So mediumship actually functions through your imagination. So with beginners, we often say, look, just make it up, because we give them permission to use that creative aspect of self. We give them permission to use the part of the mind they need to do mediumship. And all we do as a more experienced medium is we train our imagination to shut up. We train our own mind to stay out of it through meditation. Meditation is the key to discipline our own mind, to stop our own thoughts coming in. But in the early stages, you receive some of it from the spirit world and you receive some of it from your own mind, which tries to add to it, because your own mind's incredibly helpful. I should also say I'm a hypnotherapist as well. You see, I trained hypnotherapist. Mm-hmm. And as part of my training, I had to understand all about the mind. And that gives me another aspect and insight into how the mind works. And it is literally that part of us, that imagination, that intuition that we're working with. And that's what we have to stimulate and train. All mediums generally have an active imagination, because that's what you've got to have. If you don't have it, that's what we're trying to train you to get. And it's a lot easier for women than men as well, because we often speak about the subconscious mind being the right brain, the female brain, and the conscious logical mind being the left brain, the male brain. And for a lot of men, they find it quite hard to access that side of their mind. They find it quite hard to, it's the emotional touchy-feely side of us. So I always say, if you're a man, you've got to be in touch with your feminine side to do it. Absolutely.
What is the power that you speak of?
The power, it's not a physical power. It's spiritual power. I'm very fond of a medium called Gordon Higginson, who was one of our finest mediums. And he was also the president of the Spiritualist National Union for very many years. And also he was the principal of the Arthur Findlay College for very many years. In fact, he was key in setting up the Arthur Findlay College. But I won't tell you too much about him. But one of his expressions was that power manifests the spirit world to us. Power is what manifests spirit to the medium. So if you like, we can view power as a fuel for mediumship, power as a necessary thing to make mediumship happen. So we all need to learn to build power to be a medium. And an equation I use is a medium equals a psychic plus power. And we often say that all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums. And to be a medium, you've got to have psychic abilities. Plus, you've got to learn to build power. And the easiest way to build power is through learning to build it through meditation, through an attunement meditation called sitting in the power, sitting for spirit. But also, the more we do mediumistic work, it naturally builds anyway. It's a bit like spiritual stamina. If you went for a run, the next time you run, you can run that bit further. It's the same sort of idea as well. And another thing Gordon said, which I find really interesting, is before we can touch the spirit world, we have to touch the spirit within us. Before we can feel the presence of spirit, we have to feel the presence of our own spirit. Before we can feel the love of spirit, we have to feel the love we have within us as a spirit. And we do that through learning to attune to our own spirit. And then we do it, we also then learn to attune to the spirit world. And it's ironic that by sitting doing nothing other than being in a meditative state of attunement with spirit, it can unfold the gifts within us, the mediumistic and psychic abilities. And I've seen people take dramatic leaps in their mediumship just by adopting a regular practice of sitting for spirit. And something else Gordon said, which is fascinating, is he said every minute spent in the spirit world, attuning to spirit through meditation, is valuable. No time spent in the presence of spirit is ever wasted. And so when we do that, if you like, you're making yourself accessible to the spirit world. They want to use your mind, but you've got to give them a chance to learn how your mind works. You've got to let your guides and helpers have the opportunity to explore you through that state of blending with them. And that way, our mediumship will function so much more easily, because they can create the right conditions for us, because they've had the opportunity to check us out and understand how we work, and we've made the time to be with them. So it makes a lot of logical sense. Plus, not only that, we have to learn to discipline our own minds. And just like a lot of meditative work within the Eastern traditions, you learn to let thoughts come and go, but not interact with them. You learn to still your mind, that monkey mind. You learn to let it quieten down, just so that we can be that clear channel. We move ourselves into that state that makes us accessible to the spirit world without our own minds interfering. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let's get to the radio now.
Sure. So the radio analogy, basically, the idea is that as mediums wear radio receivers, and everybody within the spirit world has their own unique wavelength, and they, if you like, they're transmitting. And so it's about getting us matched to the right spirits. We can receive their wavelength. And some people are relatively easy to work with. They can work with a great deal of mediums, and some come through very, very rarely. And if you like, they might be a harder frequency for a lot of mediums to get. That's the idea. So the idea is that when we start as a beginner, we generally have a much more limited range than when we learn to work with it more as an intermediate. We grow our range. And then as a more advanced medium, we're still seeking to grow our range yet still further, to the point whereby someone could say, I'd like you to communicate with such and such, and we can make the link. And, you know, if we can cover all frequencies, and provide that person is willing to communicate from the spirit world, it should be possible. Now, that's the goal. That's the ultimate aim. The reality is it doesn't always work as easy as that. You know, I've tested this in sittings. At the church, we have something called a psychic supper, where it's 8 10-minute readings back to back. And as an experiment, I've asked people, who would you like to hear from? And they tell me a name or the relationship. Mm-hmm. And I asked them to come, and I was able to give each person who they wanted and all the evidence to demonstrate I was linking with them. I thought, great, it works. But on another occasion, maybe only 5 out of 8 came. So it cannot be guaranteed. That's the thing. With all of this work, there are no guarantees. The conditions have to be right. We have to be a good vibrational match.
If they don't come forth, is it maybe that you're just not reaching them, but they're busy doing something else? It's just not time for them to work with you.
Yeah, there could be. There's so many reasons. I believe that they have to be trained to do this work with us as well.
Ah.
So they've got to want to do it, first of all.
Okay.
Then they've got to, if you like, have some degree of training or shown what to do by somebody. And also they've got to be available, because maybe just at that moment in time that they've got something better to do in the spirit world. They're really busy, and we're calling and we're asking them to come forward, and they can't because they're busy. I'll share a story with you that's what I find quite illustrative as well. Is I was once on a course, and a guy was telling me that he was so disappointed that his dad had been in the spirit world for 10 years and he had such a close relationship with his dad, and his dad had never been through before. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me this in a bar at the time. And I thought, that is so sad. That really is so sad. And I just sent the thought of, look, if you're there, dad, he'd love to hear from you. Can you come forward and work? And I got his dad, and I brought his dad through in that moment, and he was so grateful. But it turned out that his dad was Jewish, very Orthodox Jewish, and felt that mediumship was bad and wasn't necessarily the right thing to do, but also didn't want to come through in the environment of a spiritualist church because it was not what he wanted. So in a hotel bar, in a relaxed environment, right, he was happy to come forward.
Amazing.
And I found that amazing. That I thought myself, well, so even our beliefs that we held here can still remain in spirit and can still interfere with the process. And it wasn't really that his dad didn't want to communicate. He just didn't feel comfortable doing it in the environment where mostly it took place.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What I like about spiritualism, I say it's a thinking man's religion, mainly because we don't ask anyone to believe in any creed or dogma. There is no holy book. We don't get you to believe anything other than 7 simple principles within the UK. Belief in an afterlife, belief that we survive as a soul, and it's belief that mediums can communicate with those souls to bring forward that evidence to demonstrate it. But what I like about spiritualism the most is we have this belief. I believe that my soul is eternal. My spirit is eternal. When I die, I'm still alive, just in a different dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And I can then get to demonstrate the truth of that by linking to people who are in the spirit world, who are minds, and bring forward information to demonstrate they're still a living consciousness, to demonstrate they're still alive, to demonstrate they still know what goes on in people's lives. And for me, it's a religion where we actually demonstrate it. It has that evidential nature that the skeptic inside me loves. That's what I need. You know, I couldn't do it if there was no evidence. I really couldn't.
So you find when you believe in life after death, you have a more quality life?
Absolutely. You know, the end of the day, I often say that, you know, we're all going to find out about the reality of life after death one day, because all of us sooner or later will face that moment where we take our transition.
Right.
That which we call death, but as spiritualists, we say our passing, our transition.
Okay.
We often don't use the word death, funnily enough.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all going to find out for sure. So the whole point of spirit communicating with us, well, part of it is the comfort, absolutely. To comfort the bereaved is a huge thing. But the other part is they want us to know here and now our true spiritual nature. They want us to know that we are spirit here and now. And I often say, if you cannot die, then how will you live?
I completely agree. Everything that we're doing about the afterlife, learning about it, medium demonstrations, etc., is to help people grieving, and it's to help people get back with living their life. So let's go in for our last break now, and I want to talk a little bit more about life before death. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Hey, the Coast to Coast AM YouTube channel is waiting for you now.
Go to coasttocoastam.com for more information.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Every 8 minutes, the American Red Cross brings help and hope to people in need. Thanks to the support of everyday heroes like you, the Red Cross is able to respond to disasters big and small, support military families, help ensure that blood is available when needed, and teach life-saving skills like CPR and first aid. Be a hero. Donate today. Visit redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
And now more Sandra on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain with Martin Twycross. Martin, you just said, if I cannot die, how will I live? Great words.
People say to me, Martin, you're a medium. That's all about life after death, isn't it? And I say, no, it's about life before death. Because all those in the spirit world, they already know that they're still alive. It's the people here, we've got to let them know that they'll survive that death, that they are that spirit here and now. That they need to live their lives from the spirit view, not the selfish view. What we do now will create our life within the spirit world. So we need to make a difference. And I believe that the knowledge, once we've been truly touched by the power of spirit, it should change us. It should make us rethink our lives. It should make us sit up and take notice. Hang on a minute. This life is but one small step of a much greater journey. If you cannot die, then what are you going to do about it?
I love that. What are you going to do about it? I know for me, how I found you so many years ago was on YouTube, Martin. You're the first spiritualist medium tutor that I have ever found. You had a whole bunch of videos, which led me to your website. So you offer a course in mediumship. Your website is martintwycross.com. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And for me, where the course came from, as mentioned, I trained as a hypnotherapist. And in training and therapy, you have to do a great deal of theoretical understanding before you're allowed to go into the real world and have a practice with people.
Which is a good thing. Yes, it is.
Absolutely. But on one level, I would go to churches, I would go on courses, and they'd just say, off you go, link with the spirit world, off you go. And I'd see students create a great deal of problems because of a lack of knowledge. It struck me that there's three aspects to developing mediumship. There's the practice, but then there's a theoretical understanding. And for me, that bit was just not stressed anywhere near enough in any of the teachings I'd had. And certainly when you go on courses, most people want to go there to practice. They don't want to be told the theory. So it got me thinking, well, how can I present the theory of mediumship? I have that logical mind that I just sat down and just try to sketch out my whole understanding of the theory of mediumship. And one thing I'm passionate about as well is, I know some people who say, don't give all your information to your students. Don't, you know, drip feed it to them. Let them have it bits at a time. Don't give them everything. And I disagree. If I have it, you can have it. If I know it, you can know it. Mm. Why would I hold it back? So I'm passionate about letting people know everything I know. And hopefully that comes across. The fact that I've done 21 videos now, each one lasting well over 2 hours, some even as long as 3 hours. And then there's tutorials that go with each video and they last generally 2.5 hours. I think so far the material is probably over 93 hours in total. My aim was to try and build something that really gave a solid theoretical foundation. And what a lot of people said to me was, wow, once I'd sit and went through the theory in a structured, logical way, it all made sense. People would say to me in the past, just link. And you'd say, well, How am I supposed to link? I don't know.
Exactly.
But then if you spell it out to people in a simple way with simple analogies, like the radio analogy and various other things, for me, it becomes quite clear. I also say to people, it comes with a bit of a health warning in that once you've done a degree of training on the theory of mediumship, you'll watch how mediums work and you'll see what is good mediumship and what is not. You'll never watch mediumship quite the same way ever again. If people who've done my course say, yeah, now I watch mediums and I realize that people I thought initially were quite good, they weren't. I realize they're working psychically. They're giving the audience what they want. With mediumship, there's such a huge power there. I always say there's the power to harm and the power to heal. You know, I've heard worst case scenario where people, mediums have told sitters that they're useless and that sitter's gone on to take their own life. Worst case scenario.
Wow.
As a medium, you could actually cause so much harm, you could put somebody in spirit.
Oh.
But equally, the power of it to heal. You know, in my own instance, that medium who brought through my mum, who started me on this path, did so much good. I wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for that medium.
Right.
I wouldn't be here talking to you if the evidence given hadn't have been of a caliber and quality. I often joke if I'd gone along to the church when there was a lousy medium working, I would have come out of it saying, well, that's it. You know, that there is no reality to this. So thank heavens there's a good medium working that night. But the point is that we as mediums, we have to understand the ethics and responsibilities. We have to understand how much power we have, how much power other people give us. And we have to use it morally and ethically correctly. And we really have the power to harm. And the thing that really I hate so much is seeing mediums hurt people. And we see it so often. And that's why I really feel that, you know, having some kind of training course that stresses the ethics and stresses poor practice, and it's so valuable. And I shall be uploading another YouTube video coming soon, actually, on some of the excuses that poor mediums give about why they're lousy. It's really hilarious and funny, actually.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I keep meaning to put that one out there because it needs to be heard. All the excuses I've heard over the years as to why it's not their fault.
Oh, that's funny. What are you getting for feedback on your course?
You know, the feedback on the course is pretty much overwhelmingly positive.
It's got to be.
You know, and I'm just grateful that it can help so many people. And, you know, that's all we want, really.
Yeah.
Can I just say as well that all the videos are available individually? So
say if
someone didn't want to make the investment in the whole program and they want to just test the waters, they can buy one of the videos as a download or a DVD. And then basically, if you then go on to buy the program, I kind of refund you back the element that you've paid so that it doesn't cost any more, however you buy it, whether you buy it piecemeal or whether you buy it in one go. And I should say as well that the videos that are on YouTube, they were the original videos from about 2008 when I first developed the program. And I didn't actually originally develop it with the intent of taking it to a global market. It was actually, the videos were originally recorded for those who missed my classes within the church environment. And so the quality of the original videos wasn't really seeking to present them to a wider audience. So they all have been recorded again to a much higher standard.
Wow.
So I kind of re-recorded them from the point of view of a much wider audience and the point of view of people watching at home. Some people may look at them and think, well, the quality of that's not very professional. And I agree that some of the early ones, you know, the camera, sometimes the light shone on the board to the extent that it was really not brilliant. And I bought a better camera, a better gear and did it all again and presented it the long way around.
Yeah.
And of course, when you present it again, I think I built in probably 40% more material second time round as well.
Martin, before we go our separate ways today, is there any last things you want to say or bits of inspiration you want to leave with us today?
Well, I always say that we are spirit here and now, and we all have that spark of God within us, that spark of divinity. We all have what we call a latent divinity within us, you know. So everything that you attribute, every spiritual attribute you may associate with God or a spiritual person, if you're not interested in God, but you may think somebody is spiritual, you have all of that within you. And I believe one of our jobs here is to try and uncover that and to make ourselves a better person. So even if we don't want to go down the route of mediumship, even if we don't want to go down the route of developing psychically, we can develop ourselves spiritually as a person. And the best way to do that is life. And the best way to do that is to look at how we live our lives. And when we recognize that we may be displaying something we don't really like, we should remember that within us is the wonderful part of us. You know, If we're a bit impatient, we have patience and tolerance within us. If we get angry, then we have the ability to transcend that through just reconnecting with the spirit that we are. Hmm. And for me, that's what I take the most from all of this work, is that I'm a spirit here and now, that everything that happens to me in life, I have the potential to overcome it. We're never alone. Our loved ones are always just that thought away. They're just a glimpse beyond the horizon. They're always there. And we have guides and helpers who are always here to support us and help us on our journey. So no matter where we are in life, no matter how difficult life may seem, we're never alone. It's a beautiful thing. It really is.
Thank you.
Oh, bless you.
Martin, it's been a pleasure. Oh, my.
No, it's been actually one last thing as well.
Sure.
I have mentioned Gordon Higginson.
Yeah.
And I have built one of my projects is to build a website about him and to make a lot of his teachings accessible, because many people recorded Gordon and the teachings got hoarded and to some degree lost. So I've been trying to compile them and make them accessible. And they're wonderful to listen to. And that website is www.gordonhigginson.co.uk. And also, there's also a Facebook page I've built for him as well. So if people would like to hear a bit more about him, because I have mentioned him earlier on, that's a great place to go as well.
Well, I want to thank our dear friend, Martin Twycross, again. And also, if you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that every Sunday we do a free Sunday gathering. It is very similar to a service that you'd find in a spiritualist church, with the mediumship demonstration included. Also, my great friends and mediums and tutors, Carrie McLeod and Philip Dykes, run all of our online classes. If you're anything like me, if you're interested in the afterlife, you don't just have one book and you don't just listen to one show. You find things with integrity, things that resonate, things that stick, things that you believe in. Martin and his teachings are excellent. He's got a vast resource library of videos that all stem from the teachings of the great Gordon Higginson. Carrie McLeod and Philip Dykes also stem from that great line of mediumship from Gordon. So while we do weekly classes, live classes, you can get your questions answered and practice with people in real time. Martin's videos are a treasure chest of detailed knowledge that you can access anytime. And as our time is coming to an end today, I'd love to know how you're enjoying the show, if there's some topics or some people you'd like me to interview or things you'd like to know more about. So if you'd like to follow me on Facebook or send me an email, sandrachamplain@gmail.com, I'd love it if you go to wedontdie.com. You can see all of our upcoming classes, join our Sunday gathering. We have a Facebook group of well over 6,000 people, interviews galore, all kinds of free things. And if you go to the store page and find my audiobook to We Don't Die, just use coupon code FREE. Chapter 10 is How to Survive Grief. And I know that our broken hearts and our grief is maybe what got you here to listen today. Whatever it is, I'm your friend, we're in this together, and your loved ones really are around you and love you. So with that, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Make sure and check out all our shows on the iHeartRadio app or by going to iHeartRadio.com.